You've just heard the Star Warsified version of the PCMC theme by Bill Gagliardi. Both
we have that. That's right.
Right. Bill did the original theme, the Christmas version, the Halloween version, and of course the Star Wars version.
I know. You got to start using the other Christmas versions he gave you, though. He's like, come on, I got so much material.
I'm sorry.
Because the one you use is the depressing Charlie Brown-esque one.
The other one's so full of whimsy.
So this is the state of the union.
State
of
the
Star
Wars.
Wars
Union. That's right.
The state of Star Wars. Where is Star Wars right now? Mm-hmm, well, mm-hmm. They had. It wasn't even a conference. It was Disney Investor Day.
Yeah.
Which,
as I've said before on the podcast, Gagliardi is an investor.
He certainly is.
He is a share
been there.
Owner.
He should have been there.
Front row seat. I think he's one share that somebody gave him.
Nice. He should have been there. He should have got an invite at least.
Yeah.
So they announced a plethora. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say too many.
I agree.
Star Wars.
I agree.
For a minute, I was like, oh, I think they're learning. And they didn't learn. They just saw all the, oh, you like The Mandalorian? We're just going to do all shows now.
Yeah.
Oh, you
yeah.
don't, too many. They went from too many movies to too many shows.
Yes. Yeah.
So.
But like, well, I guess we'll get into it. But like you said.
Eugenio Gagliardi.
Hi. Hello. I said my son's full name. Please don't kidnap him.
I can bleep it.
Yep, you're going to have to. This is where he goes to school. This is how you can recognize him.
Tell him you're a friend of mine.
Oh, my God. This is his favorite candy, in case you want to.
Oh, God. Oh, we're just creating things for me to edit later.
Oh, no. Yes. So I don't even know what we were saying. Let's rewind. Start over.
Janine, how are you?
I'm good. We're gonna
talk about what's going on in Star Wars.
Let's do it.
It's a lot.
I know. But oh, okay. This is what you were saying. It was basically something that hadn't occurred to me. You're like, well, how many of these are actually gonna get made?
Right, because there were plenty of film projects, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Ryan Johnson trilogy. Right.
That kind of just went away, right?
Right. Yeah. The Game of Thrones guys trilogy, right?
Oh yeah.
That's not happening.
No.
The Boba Fett TV show. Which I think just morphed into Mandalorian.
But wait, no.
No, not the new one. I'm sorry.
Because that's the Book of Boba Fett.
Right, yes. Way back
there
was
another
a,
one. Right, yes, yes, right. Yes, yes, I know.
Or that
might have
been also a movie. I don't know. But
okay.
That never
but
happened.
Yes,
there was
an original Boba Fett story that became The Mandalorian that then they inserted Boba Fett into.
Yes.
And now they made a different
yes.
show with Boba Fett. Right,
yes.
Right.
And then there's other projects that I'm forgetting about. One project that they announced a long time ago that somehow is still happening is the Cassian Andor show.
And it's produced. It's done, pretty
much. It's done,
yeah. And every time I see it, I'm like, who could possibly care?
He's a character, and it's not him. It's
I feel
a, he's
bad.
A character
Diego
from Rogue
Luna's
One.
Cool, you know.
Rogue One's
like, we know
not
how it
very
ends.
Good.
I don't like Rogue One particularly.
Right, we know he dies. We know
yeah,
he's dead.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a weakness going in
no.
if you do it well, but I don't know a single person who walked away from Rogue One. I know a lot of people who love
yeah.
Rogue One. I never heard any of them be like, and Cassian Andor, man, that guy's cool. I really
need
love
more
him.
His adventures.
Man, what's he up to?
Yeah, I agree. But they're doing it.
I do feel bad. I think Diego Luna was a cool actor.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
But there's just so much Star Wars stuff coming. So that's one. That's a, and these are all Disney Plus shows.
Yes.
So,
all right. So
that's
going
just called Andor.
Andor. And or.
And nope. Ampersand.
Andor.
Ampersandra.
Cassie.
What? Do you remember that?
No.
That was an artist that Mabel listens to on Gravity Falls.
Oh.
Ampersandra. But it's the Ampersand in the DRA.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's great. All right. So I guess the one I've been seeing first on everything is Rangers of the New Republic.
Yes, Rangers of the New Republic.
Okay. Set in the timeline of The Mandalorian.
Yes. And I'm not sure if it's...
They're both, I guess, in universe. Everything's in universe.
Right.
But it's
very
the
closely
world of
connected.
The Mandalorian.
It's,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It might be Cara Dune because they...
I think they might bring her... Like, I think when that
they
guy
make her a cop.
Gave her the...
Right. The badge. A lot of people want her fired because she's very,
oh,
very
yeah.
conservative and says conservative crazy things on Twitter.
She's a,
but
it
John
seems
Favreau,
that she's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think she necessarily should be fired for that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree with care.
Her, but like, fine, whatever. She can, right. she can have a personal life like anybody else can have. She can be wrong, right. but like, you
yeah,
know,
I agree.
I like her characterization. Like, I like her portrayal of the character.
I like that she's not just a strong female character, but she's thick and she's.
I like she's physically powerful looking. Like,
she looks like a straight up action figure.
Right. I remember.
I like her outfit too. I like.
I love her outfit.
She's awesome looking.
I'm actually very much considering. You know, it's January, so naturally we're thinking about Halloween.
Of course.
And thinking about like a family Mandalorian costume. And I want to do Cara Dune. And, you know, Bill would be the Mandalorian. And then Peter would be Baby Yoda because he'll hopefully be walking by then. I think he probably will be.
But you could also get him a little.
And then we're just trying to figure out how we're going to work Henry into this. If he should be Moff Gideon or if he should be Frog Lady.
Frog Lady.
Should he be Frog Lady?
Oh, the possibilities.
I know. We'll see. Hopefully we'll be.
Or Luke. Maybe a little Luke.
A little Luke. Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be fun. I don't know. Hopefully we'll be in a world where trick-or-treating is happening again.
Hopefully.
So, that would be nice.
It's, you know, it's almost the end of January. We really got to start working on our PCMC Halloween episodes.
I know. It's true. What are we doing?
Have you been writing things down?
Oh, my God. No, I agree with you. I don't think she should be fired. I think that's an example of cancel culture. It's like you have an opinion in your personal
she's
life.
Dumb.
It's not affect. Yeah,
she's you know dumb and wrong.
You can't fire someone for being stupid unless it's affecting their work.
Right.
And
she's
it's
dumb
not
and wrong.
Affecting her work.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless she's like in a scene wearing like a MAGA hat.
I know.
I don't care. Right. I really don't care.
Just let her be dumb and wrong in real life. And
it's fine.
I like her
Did
character.
Was she in the Capitol? No. Then I don't care.
No, right. Yeah, she hasn't. She hasn't committed a crime.
Yeah. Then I'm good. It's cool. I mean, I'm not cool with you personally, but that's fine. I don't have to meet you.
Right.
It's not an issue.
Yeah. So it looks like it'll be her and maybe there's the one guy we see with the beard. I know
he's the guy who keeps showing up.
Right. And the other guy is Filoni, but I doubt Filoni will put himself unless he's
like
an egomaniac. And this has always been his endgame.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I definitely
think it's
they set up so many pilots.
That's the this was last week's episode.
Yeah, we talked about
If you
this.
Didn't listen last week, we talked about Mandalorian season 2 and kind of recapped it. And one of our major problems with it was a lot of backdoor pilots. I mean, like a lot of the shows we're going to talk about today are all deriving from Mandalorian season 2 cuz Mandalorian season 1 was a surprise hit and now it is the tree where everything else is now blossoming from.
Yes.
Everything. Yes. And by the way, it goes to show you the lasting success of the sequel trilogy because none of these shows have anything to do with the sequel trilogy. They're all in the timeline of between the original trilogy and the sequel trilogy.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Except for The Acolyte, which is in the High Republic age, which is 200 years before. Mm. So
then the other one that...
In terms of tone, this is the one where I don't really know what to expect.
I have no idea.
Because,
I haven't read anything about it other than I imagine it's this guy that we've been seeing.
Also, I've never... Again, I'm sure there are nerds out there that know this. I've never heard the term Ranger before in Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't know what a Ranger is.
So I'm not exactly sure what a Ranger will be.
Me neither. Unless that's just their title now that they're no longer Rebels. They're Rangers.
Okay, so I'm not exactly quite sure.
I mean, I don't know.
But here's what I'm afraid is going to happen is they're going to like try to really Marvel it hard and like
But I've always argued they should have Marveled it more and had like an idea of what was happening.
Well, but I'm saying, is Rangers of the New Republic gonna like? Do you remember like there would be. They only did this a couple times, but there was a couple of storylines in Buffy and Angel where, like, you needed to watch them both. Like, they were
intricate to one
another.
Yeah.
Like it began in Buffy and then finished in Angel. Like,
right.
I'm afraid that's what this
of, like,
is going to be.
Like, the Civil War series when they were doing it in the comics and every single comic line in Marvel matched up and you kind of had to read it all.
I have a feeling that they're going to do a thing where it's like... To be up on what's happening in Star Wars. Like, you can't just watch Mandalorian. You've got to watch Mandalorian and Boba Fett and Rangers.
Yeah. You know what? Most likely it will just be a Buffy and Angel type thing where a couple of storylines interlace. And if you want to, you can watch those storylines.
But you're also getting rid of a good character. You're doing Rhoda dilemma of you're getting rid of one of your best characters on your show.
Right.
Like Cara Dune.
Well,
is
I'm sure
one of my
show
favorite.
Up.
Yeah, but she's not going to be a
but
mean
she's not
person.
Really a mean person, though. She's a series regular.
I call. Yeah,
She was on the show what, four times?
But now when she shows up, she's going to be like, "Huh, I just was in some hot water over in Camino," and it's like, "Okay, did I have to watch that fucking episode?"
I don't want
to
watch that. I don't know if I'm going to give it a shot. I probably will, but it kind of reminds me of like when The Walking Dead exploded and became like the biggest
nine other shows.
Yes, and then it just turned into a million other shows that like no one ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that this is going to have that problem,
right?
But we'll see. But I don't know. I guess.
And like I said, tone wise, and not just the tone, but also like the narrative kind of world of it. I don't know what it's going to be. Is it cops in the world of Star Wars? Is it like, I really don't know what it is.
I mean, it's kind of like we were talking about in last episode. It's interesting to see what role they play now that they're no longer rebels. And if that's the case, then I might be interested to see where that goes.
Well, what could be interesting is,
who's running? Who's the showrunner? Do we know?
It's all this is Filoni.
Oh, it's okay. It's just his project.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not sure if Favreau is as intricately a part of it.
Okay.
And we haven't said it yet. Ahsoka is also part of this.
Ahsoka's another upcoming show. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder. It would be interesting though if they got into like the rise of the First Order.
There's a lot that confuses me about the First Order because I'm not reading like supplemental material. Mm. So like I'm not even 100% clear on what it is.
Right. The best book that explains it, which you don't read the books, but the best book that explains it is Bloodlines, which is a book about Leia. And it's basically like a political drama. And it basically it's like imagine that alt-right people became literal Nazis.
I can't. It's too much of a stretch.
That's basically it is. Like there's a scene in the book where like there's a young senator, but she like goes into his chamber and he's got like memorabilia and it's like a stormtrooper helmet and she's like, "Why do you have this?" And he's like, "Well, I know they're evil, but I'm just a collector of history and blah blah blah." And it's like,
and we can't erase our history because then we're doomed to repeat it. Right, but really, I'm basically glorifying the history.
It's like, basically that.
Oh God, I was about to get into a Confederate monument conversation. Let's just skip over it.
Yeah. So what else is coming out?
All right. So Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
So that was
another backdoor pilot from.
Yeah, the entire episode was really just getting her to a show.
So it's her
looking for Thrawn, I guess.
Right. Which could mean she's looking for Ezra, the protagonist from the Rebels.
Right.
Because Ezra and Thrawn disappear together conveniently right before A New Hope.
Okay. So they cannot be involved in the original trilogy. I mean, that's, I guess, sort of good for them writing that because they know this character is not in any of it and they don't want to kill him off. So
Thrawn's an interesting character because he's a bad guy, but he's also,
like, what's his deal?
He's like the Sherlock Holmes. He's like Sherlock Holmes. Like, he is insanely brilliant. Like, he's chosen to be a bad guy, but he sees it all as like a chess game.
Okay.
And he even, like Sherlock Holmes, has a right-hand man that's like a much dumber person who like helps him out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rumor mill is saying Robert Downey Jr., and no, he would be terrible for it. Thrawn is stoic and scary, and Robert Downey Jr., I think he does have some range, but he's fun. He's not Thrawn. He's not right. It's much more of a Fassbender. Fassbender would be great as Thrawn.
That would be cool. I like Fassbender very much. I did a little bit of research on Thrawn, not much at all. Mm-hmm. Basically just finding out who the voice actor was. And that was a name I saw like bandied about a little bit. It's Mads Mikkelsen's brother.
Whoa, I did not know that.
And who is an actor, and whose name I don't know. But Mads Mikkelsen's already in Star Wars.
Right.
So he couldn't, because that was the first thing that came to mind when I saw a picture of Thrawn. I was like, oh, Mads Mikkelsen should play this role. But and then his brother, he was in Rogue One.
Oh, he was Jyn Erso's dad?
Yes.
Okay.
So, but I was like, oh, he's already in it. And then I found out his brother actually does the role.
Interesting.
So, and he looks enough like Mads Mikkelsen, but different that he's all blue. So
I guess I blew myself.
Oh my God, could you imagine having to play that role and having to get in that makeup every single time?
So it looks like Thrawn will be the villain of that.
Yeah.
But again, this looks like, you know, it's going to be a situation of like Ahsoka, Rangers of the New Republic, mm-hmm. Boba Fett, Mandalorian, all of them go together.
Did we talk about the Book of Boba Fett? No,
not yet.
Okay.
We talked about it a little bit last week. The book,
yeah.
Because they directly like tease it at the end of the last episode.
Like the Book of Boba Fett coming at the end of this year.
It's an interesting idea. It is. We see.
Is he becoming Jabba now? He's becoming the crime lord of Tatooine.
Yeah.
That's more Tatooine.
Oh, yeah.
Christ.
We got two shows coming up that are going to be all on Tatooine. Obi-Wan and Book of...
Obi-Wan, that's right. And Book of Boba Fett. They'll probably intersect, will they not?
No, well, no, because Book of Boba Fett is after Return of Jedi.
Oh, he's gone
and
already.
Obi-Wan is before episode 4.
Before episode, okay.
Maybe, but him and Cass and Andor can... We're in a weird thing where there's such a long timeline.
Yeah, that's right. Right, Obi-Wan wouldn't...
Right, he's dead.
Yeah. Now, I like... Well, I guess we can talk about Obi-Wan. This is a show I'm excited about. I'm actually excited about this one.
Because you've got a great actor... who never got the chance to really do
it. He always elevated the prequel series. He was always, I would say, the best part of the prequel series.
But still not very good because it was a terrible acting situation. It was not good directing.
You could see he was just like, he was fighting the constraints of the script, which was not a very good script.
To have him, now he's 20 years older.
Yeah.
And to have him on Tatooine, and I like the, you know, there's been some comics and short stories about this period, and it's just like he's just kind of like miserable and he doesn't know what he wants. Mm-hmm. And he kind of like feels like his mission is to raise Luke, but Uncle Owen won't let him.
Right.
So
I feel like he's running interference between like any bad thing that could happen to Luke.
Right.
Which I like.
Yeah. There's a comic book where like Jabba's people come to everybody's house for collection money, but they don't go to Uncle Owen's house because fucking they did once and then Obi-Wan like threatened them, mm-hmm. and then Uncle Owen goes to Obi-Wan. He's like, I told you to stay away from my family, blah, yeah. blah, blah. So it'll be something there. Some people want Clone Wars did this thing where they brought back Darth Maul.
I know Maul's a big part of that series, right?
Right. And he's also in Rebels. They made him into much more of a character than he ever was in that movie. Mm-hmm. So some people are like, oh, well, he should be in it. But it's like, spoiler alert, we saw Obi-Wan kill him in Rebels.
Yeah.
And it's actually pretty cool. He tries to do the same move that he killed Qui-Gon with, uh-huh. but Obi-Wan counters it.
Yeah.
So it's like, do we need...
Well, I don't know that... I suspect that they will try to bring Maul into the series somehow, mm-hmm. but... I don't know why he would be there because they have had an encounter. Like,
right.
I know according to the animated series, they haven't had an encounter since.
Right. He doesn't.
Animated series, they have plenty of encounters, right?
In Clone Wars, they have plenty of encounters. In Rebels, he doesn't know where he is. And then he gets a vision of mm-hmm. Tatooine and he immediately goes to Tatooine to find him.
Yeah.
So how he doesn't know that he's on Tatooine.
Yeah.
He's kind of looking for Obi-Wan because mm-hmm. he has this vendetta against him.
Right.
I don't know. So in terms of bad guys, I have no idea.
Coming back.
Yeah. How?
I don't know. Because the second he becomes Vader, he has James Earl Jones's voice. So it's not like he'd be doing the voice. So
a flashback or a Force ghost? But then I don't like the idea of Anakin's Force ghost not being Vader. Like, I don't like the idea of them really being two separate beings.
Right. I agree. I don't know how they're going to incorporate him at all, but I know he's involved. And then the other thing is Liam Neeson very recently spoke to some media outlet and said, like, I would love to be involved in the Obi-Wan project.
Well,
he should be there because at the end of Revenge of the Sith, Yoda is talking to him about
Qui-Gon learned how to
a Force ghost, essentially. And, like, we know Obi-Wan becomes a Force ghost, so he had to have learned it from Qui-Gon.
Right. And really, Qui-Gon should be in episode 3, but he's not because he didn't want to do it for some reason.
Okay.
He could be, like, Obi-Wan's guide. Like, I think he should be in it.
I think he should be in it also. I think that would be an opportunity. And maybe Liam Neeson was just saying that to, like, tease people and garner some interest.
No,
but, like, Disney Plus, where are you at? Like, get him on board. Like, he's interested.
Yeah. It is... So that's what I'm excited, and it's a limited thing. See, I get very excited when they say it's limited.
Series.
Yes.
Oh, I like that. Okay.
Because then you know it's
the,
like,
Lando property they're saying is an event series, I guess is what they're calling it now. Event series. Wait, hold on. Let me just double check that.
When I know there's an end game and it's almost like one story, then I'm more excited about it.
Okay. Lando, an event series. Yeah. Huh. So either mini series or just a limited series. Hmm.
Now, Lando, we know nothing about, really.
We know nothing.
We don't know if
Donald Glover's going to be in it, or Billy Dee Williams is going to show up.
Yeah.
No clue.
We have no
clue. What if it's Billy Dee Williams and that girl from...
Rise of Skywalker?
Yeah. And they're, like, looking.
That'd be fun. Now, some people are saying if it's...
What's her name? Jara? What's her name?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Oh, no. Jonna?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Not a good character. Not a great movie.
I know.
Some people saying this could be, for you Solo stands out there, this could be also the return of, what's his name is Han Solo.
Oh, yes. Alden Ehrenreich?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I liked him as Han Solo, and I wanted to see more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. We talked about Andor, right?
Yeah. Do we know anything about it? It's him before Rogue One, obviously.
Rogue One. All right. Andor is a brave officer of the Rebel Alliance and the leader of Rogue One, a unit of rebel soldiers who try to steal. Andor dies. Okay. The show will be presumably be set in his past.
Yeah, duh.
Great. There he is, an ashy corpse on the ground. And that's the show.
There you go, folks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we know nothing about that. We just know we're getting a Lando series. Oh, but Justin Simien?
Uh-huh.
The director of Dear White People is developing Lando, the series. Okay. The Dear White People movie or the series for Netflix? I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe he does both. I'm not sure. All right.
Yeah, there are some interesting people attached to things. There's a movie coming out directed by Taika Waititi.
Untitled Waititi project.
And it's from what the little bit I've heard, it's going to have a more comedic tone.
Okay.
Which they also promised that with Solo, and then they backed off and fired the Lego guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Wait, it says Hayden Christensen returns as Darth Vader.
So he's just going to be in the suit?
Or are they going to do James Earl Jones' voice and then he'll take off the mask? But then wouldn't he die?
I think he can have the mask off for like a little bit.
Right, but in his like little back-to-tank thing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Oh, I have no fucking idea.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let's see. Oh, Rogue Squadron.
Right, that's another film.
I'm very excited about this one, actually.
Patty Jenkins. But, you know, we live in a world where people move so quickly and punish people so quickly. We know Colin Trevorrow got taken off of Episode 9 because...
Oh, you think she'll get taken off because of 84?
Yeah, Wonder Woman 84, which I had no problems with. It was a solid B- for me.
I haven't seen it. I've heard if you go into it just, like, expecting a fun ride, you're going to get it.
People love the first one and hate the second one.
Yeah.
I feel the first one is good and the second one's good. I'm both of them are equally not thrilling to me, but okay. But they've been saying maybe they won't they'll take her off of it.
Oh, I hope not.
Now this is interesting because it's based on a popular video game series, Rogue Squadron.
Oh, really?
Rogue Squadron was
like a Star Fox type thing.
Yes, okay. It was basically all ships and stuff. So.
Okay, cool. I really like the promo they filmed for
Yeah.
I thought that was so cool. So her father was a fighter pilot. Patty Jenkins' father was a fighter pilot in real life. And so she grew up around like fast fighter pilot jets and is bringing that experience to the table. So not only is she like a skilled director, but she also has like intimate knowledge.
It's gonna be like Top Gun in Star Wars.
I know, it's Star Wars Top Gun.
Yeah.
So not that I really give a shit about Top Gun, but that's cool. That's
it's
like
a
cool
fun
entry
idea.
Point into Star Wars. Because
they're not, because you don't see them as much as you see the Jedi, but they're not like the Jedi. They're like, let's get into our ships and fucking fly around.
They're flyboys.
Yeah.
They're fun. And Luke was a flyboy. Yeah, that's what Luke wanted to do. He wanted to be a pilot. He didn't want to be a Jedi. Let's get into it.
But Janine,
yeah.
Are we really ready for a female Star Wars director?
She might get her period halfway through and screw up the whole thing.
Oh, gosh. She's going to have blood all over the set.
Oh, my God.
Is she free bleeding?
I don't like that at all.
Sadly, she actually would be the first female to direct a feature Star Wars. We've got female directors
on the shows
and stuff. I just said that as a joke. But somebody will genuinely be mad about it, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
So, I never played those games, to be honest with you. They were like a 90s thing.
Okay.
Since we're... The point of today's episode is the state of Star Wars, let's talk about what I think is kind of at the heart of all of this stuff, which is... A balance. You have to strike a balance between familiarity and novelty.
Mm-hmm.
And you swing one way, people are unhappy. You swing the other way, people are unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I talked about how I didn't love that Luke Skywalker was in Mandalorian. To me, that was too far in a direction. But I do like the idea of Baby Yoda because it's a reference to something I know, but expanding it. So I think that's the balance, and that's the thing that they haven't gotten right. Because, you know, Solo failed because people didn't want a Solo movie. People didn't... Yes, people love Han Solo. They didn't want a Han Solo movie.
We don't need to know how he got the dice.
Exactly. Exactly. No one even noticed the dice.
Yeah.
The dice are like, they were always there in the background. No one noticed
it. And some editions, you can't even see the dice.
Right. Rian Johnson was the person who like made the dice mean anything. Because he saw in an early screening of Force Awakens, Solo takes the dice out of his pocket and puts it back in the fucking cockpit. And then JJ cuts that shot out. So he writes it into his movie. Just an example of how they're not communicating with each other.
If you could just get one meeting between you two, please. Yeah,
exactly. So that's the balance here. That's the issue. Depending what I want is exploring things. Like you were saying last week, you loved the episode of Mando where they were on a ship in the sea, like actual nautical Star Wars. I would like a whole show of that.
Sure.
Just fucking Mon Calamari pirates. Hey. Sign me up.
Absolutely.
So, but the problem seems to be, and this is what happened, getting back to what we were doing last week, what happened with Mandalorian season two, which is when something takes off, then all of a sudden we have, like, you become less daring with it.
Yeah. Now everything has to be the Mandalorian. Right. It's just like, no, the Mandalorian is its own thing.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I think some of these projects are more of the same. And I think some of them have real merit. Like, I think Obi-Wan has real merit as a series.
Because there's something to explore there.
Yeah. I think Rogue Squadron has real merit as a movie.
Yes.
I think it's a new direction. Like, we know what these fighter pilots are.
Yeah.
Let's go into their story.
Right.
It's, like you said with Baby Yoda, it's something familiar, but they're giving us more in a different direction.
Ahsoka, it's like, okay, well, it's just kind of a sequel to the Rebels cartoon. And
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I don't know much about it. And based on just the episode, my knowledge of her based on the episode, I don't know that I'm that interested in following her journey. I'll give it a shot.
You know, people are going to be mad at me. I think she did a good job. And sure. I know
I thought she did fine with what they gave her to do, which wasn't a lot.
No, exactly. And I know that she's playing an older version of Ahsoka, but Ahsoka's thing that she was known for was being kind of fun. And I don't see that at all.
I guess maybe if you're coming at it from knowing that about her, it is sort of heartbreaking to see that portrayal then, because she seems like the light has gone out of her eyes.
Well, you know what she would call Anakin?
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
Sky Guy. And he called her Snips.
Snips?
Yeah.
Why do you call her Snips?
I don't know. No idea.
All right.
Sky Guy.
That's cute. I don't see that at all.
No, I don't
see. Which maybe that's sad. Maybe that's like a sad thing about it. Like,
I guess.
Intentionally. Not like it's a weakness necessarily of the show. Like, maybe that was just an intentional thing where she's just like totally guarded now.
There was an Ahsoka book that I read that I did not like. Mm. It was probably the most boring Star Wars book, in my opinion.
Okay.
In my opinion. Sora's books are real hit and miss. Some of them are great. Some of them are not.
Okay. I don't know. Actually, you know what? That makes me... but see, this is something where I need supplemental material to inform my perspective.
Right?
Because if she's giving me nothing, really, and now I know that she was not like this, that actually, you know, colors my view of it now. Where I'm like, oh, wow, she's completely cut off and guarded now.
Yeah.
And I guess because of Anakin's betrayal. And that has now, like, shut her down.
Yeah.
And maybe now with the Ahsoka series, now if you're coming at it from that perspective, but you have to have read all this stuff or know all this stuff, now maybe you'll see her, like, crack open a little bit and get to where she's back to, like, the person she used to be. Is she dead? She's dead, right? She has to be.
No.
When she's like force
communicating with Rey at the end. Yeah. What's funny, it's the voice of the original cartoon, not her. No,
yeah, she wasn't cast.
But they say she could just be that doesn't necessarily mean she's dead.
Okay.
But you know, a problem with this, and this is not just of now, this was going back to even the Clone Wars. The more Jedi you add, the more you have to be like, where were they during the original trilogy?
Right.
Like, what
yeah,
was she?
I know.
Like she couldn't help Luke out. It also takes away some of the specialness of Luke being the last Jedi. The last
one, yeah.
Like, when Agreed. Yoda was like, "You're the last Jedi." Well, like, when, except for this guy over here.
Yeah, like Ezra, and then who's Ezra. Off the ship, and there's yeah. Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah. And then Cal Kestis from the video game. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's actually a bunch.
You know what, Luke? My bad. There's a bunch of you out there, but this is on you.
You're the closest, so I'm just going to have you do it.
You're here. You showed up, and that's what's important.
You know what? Showing up, you get the job.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm going to die now.
So long.
What other programs are happening?
Okay, so they have a droid story.
Yeah, that's an animated series. I don't know if that's like... I think R2 and C-3PO are in it, but
yeah.
I think
a
it
new
might be...
hero who is guided by C-3PO and R2-D2.
A new hero. So yeah. A new droid?
I guess. You know, I'm saying this out loud, and I'm like, they're going to find a way to put Babu Frick into this story.
Sure, why not?
This is a droid repairman.
Sure, why not?
And they're going to. I love Babu Frick.
This is the second. This would be the second time we've tried to do a cartoon with these two.
Yeah, right?
Right. One of the earliest spinoffs was Cold Droids.
Oh, okay.
R2-D2 and C-3PO. It was an animated Saturday morning.
That's right.
Cartoon.
I mean, I never watched it, but I'm aware of
you
it.
You got to watch the opening because it's a fun theme song.
Mm.
And it's in the credits, it says Anthony Daniels is C-3PO and R2-D2 as himself.
That's very cute. Okay. The Acolyte.
Now, The Acolyte's interesting.
Yeah, it's from Leslie Headland, who did Russian Doll on Netflix.
Okay.
Which I never watched, but I've heard very good things. And it's a mystery thriller that will take viewers into a galaxy of shadowy secrets and emerging dark side powers in the final days of the High Republic era.
Here's the thing. I want to get to the High Republic later because it's a whole new corner of Star Wars. They just had a huge High Republic, like, it just started. So they had a huge High Republic rollout, and they have not talked about this.
Okay.
And I don't know why.
Huh.
But this is so far the only thing not in publishing that is High Republic related.
Okay.
We'll get into it more, but I like the High Republic for nothing more than the fact that it's Star Wars and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
Even with Jedi, it has a different take on Jedi.
Right.
It's
supposed
with
to be
the exception
like
of Yoda,
of the
it's
round
all different
table,
characters.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll talk more about it. I read the first book and I really liked it. So this is interesting. This is 200 years before these other shows.
Yeah. So they can't dip into Skywalker or no. You don't think they could.
Yoda is the only one who's still around in the High Republic.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Not Yaddle, though. I've not seen Yaddle in the High Republic yet. And this Yaddle erasure, I'm so upset about.
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I was about to say those exact words. I'm like, this is Yaddle erasure on a level that we cannot conceive.
I don't want to get into it. So
it's sexist, I think. I don't know.
I believe so. There's also an animated series called Star Wars Visions, and I've heard very little about this, and I'm willing to bet that it goes in line with...
like the What If series that they're doing with Marvel?
No, they've done two other series of the last couple of years called... Mm-hmm. One was called Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, which was like little anime shorts of things in Star Wars. Basically like remaking scenes in anime.
Okay.
And then there was another one which had a toy line. It was aimed at female audience.
Yeah, it was like Rey and Leia.
Yeah.
And like the...
And it was all female stories. Yeah. Basically what I'm saying is I have a feeling this is just a YouTube series of like 5-minute cheap cartoons.
Okay.
I don't think this is a Disney Plus thing and I don't think it's a big deal. We'll see. It's called Visions because supposedly it's like different artists and stuff, and I would like that. I would love to see something
like that.
Love, Death, and Robots,
or
in Star
Wars.
The
Animatrix or something.
Yeah, just do something wild.
That would be fun. That'd be great. Yeah. Okay, that made me excited about it. If that's the case, that'd be really cool.
Okay, season 2 supposedly still happening, so we'll do an episode on it when it.
Yeah, I mean, it has that little thing on Netflix. Like another season is coming. They still have it.
Cannot wait. Loved it. Go back and listen to me and Janine's episode of PCMC on Love, Death, and Robots.
Mm-hmm.
Were we forgetting? Did we hit everyone?
No, the Bad Batch.
Oh, the Bad Batch. Here's one that I have zero interesting.
It looks like it's, well, it's animated. It looks like it's in the style of like Clone Rebels Wars. Or Clone Wars.
It's a direct spinoff of Clone Wars.
Okay, so this was a group of
clones
of the original clones,
yeah,
that became stormtroopers. But they're the bad batch of clones. So they do they all look different, or they like aren't?
I think they look different in the sense that some have tattoos, some have they have different hair. They did okay. things.
Oh, I thought it was like they were a little too short to be a stormtrooper. They were like
they're bad. I'm not the Bad Batch existed. Like we've but seen them.
They
before.
Went off. They did not become stormtroopers, or they like left being stormtroopers. Right? Yeah. Okay.
They left being clone troopers.
Right.
I think it's them during the period of the original trilogy. So it's after Order 66.
Uh huh.
I think they didn't follow the order. They did some retconning in the Clone Wars TV series where basically in episode 3, mm-hmm. when the Emperor does Order 66, all of the clones go to kill all the Jedis.
Yeah.
But in the Clone Wars cartoon, they make it that there's like literally like a chip in their head.
That controls them?
Right. Okay. And some of them can turn it off. And some did.
Okay.
So, like, I think these are good guy ones that don't do it. They explore a lot more about the clones in the Clone Wars than, you know, ever did in those movies.
Right. Which is a cool thing about this show. I think that's a cool way.
I'm just not interested. You know, look, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but you can't like it all. And there are little corners of Star Wars that I'm just not that interested in. And
yeah,
Clone Wars is my least favorite time period. Prequels and Clone Wars is my least favorite time period.
I don't anticipate watching it unless like my kids are really into Clone Wars and now they want to watch it, and then I'll watch it with them.
Yeah.
I'm open to it. I'm just not particularly interested in it at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's all I had on that list. But then I think you were saying there was some other stuff. Are we looking at anything else movie-wise? There's nothing on that list.
There's never been an official announcement that Rian Johnson's trilogy is over. But I'm
probably pretty damn sure. Right?
No one has mentioned a thing about it.
Right.
I know from his Twitter that he's working on a sequel to Knives Out,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole new mystery, whole new like family. It's just the same detective in a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that's ever going to happen. Well,
good for him. Lucas, they had to buy him out.
Yeah. Lucasfilm just launched what they call Lucasfilm Video Games. Now,
wasn't that LucasArts?
Right. In the old days, there was LucasArts, which was video games, which was in the sort of vein of George Lucas. It was like innovative. They were like trying to create new things.
Right.
This is just more of a branding thing.
Mm-hmm.
Lucasfilm Video Games is just all these games based in the world of Star Wars. For a long time, EA, they had the, they're the only ones that can make like big games.
Okay.
Small, other people could make like, digital mobile games and stuff.
Okay.
But their exclusivity is up. So now, but they've made good games. Mm-hmm. I really liked, Jedi Fallen Order.
Well, weren't they criticized for doing too many loot boxes?
That's what they were criticized like,
in-game purchases.
Yeah, they were criticized for that in, Battlefield.
Okay.
Battlefield 2, which I still like that game, and I like the story of that game. But yeah, they kind of fixed that with Jedi Fallen Order. There's none of that in that. Mm. The big news on that front, besides this new rebranding, is that Ubisoft and a subdivision of Ubisoft called Massive Games is making the first.
It's like Shinehart Wig Company.
They're making the first open world Star Wars game.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
So every Star Wars game has basically been.
They're doing that linear. With Harry Potter now too. It's like an open world Harry Potter, but it looks like shit.
Yeah, I know.
It looks like the game Bully.
Oh yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. Go. I'm sorry. Right.
So, but I'm excited. I like open world games. I mean, it's the definition of open world. I think is very It's very vague because
yes, it's a nebulous
right.
title.
And almost all games are in some ways more open than they used to be. Like even yeah. like Jedi Fallen Order, mm-hmm. you can do things in slightly different orders. Uh-huh. But apparently this is going to be like you can
a
really
true just, open world.
Yeah, you can really decide to do all
but
sorts
like,
of different
how
things.
How far does it extend?
I don't know.
Like how okay, are you, do you have to remain in a galaxy? I'm sure you can do like jumps.
It's basically
like in your ship. You should be able to travel yeah. to other galaxies.
My favorite open world game is Sony's Spider-Man. Mm. And in that game, basically, there were like four or five tracks that you mm-hmm. could follow. The main story track and then dealing with like local crime track, dealing with trying to find some. Mm-hmm. So it's basically just more story.
Well, with open world stuff, I mean, from my understanding, and I've played a few open world games. Like I've played some like proto open world uh-huh. games. And then like, you know, the GTA series is progressively more and more open world. And then I've seen a lot of gameplay from Breath of the Wild because yeah. Bill has played that game. And that's, yes. that's like a true open world where it's just massive, massive
right.
game.
Right.
And you can go anywhere. I mean, it doesn't have right. to be necessarily part of the story. You're just visiting places, right. which I feel like if you really did that with Star Wars, that would be incredible because right. you just visit worlds and that has nothing to do right. with the game, really. You're just visiting places.
What it really ends up meaning is you can do it in whatever order you want to do it in.
Okay. Okay.
And there could be things you could ignore and probably get different endings and stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, with Breath of the Wild, you could go and fight like the big right. boss on day one if you want to. You probably won't win because you right. need to have all these like power-ups and stuff.
Right,
and,
right,
items, but you could do it if you wanted to do yeah. it that way.
So we'll see. There have been some great Star Wars video games and some
not so great. Not so great okay. Star Wars okay. Games.
Okay, so this next thing is file this under rumors.
I love that album.
What's your favorite album? Rumors.
No, it's all true.
It's all true. So the rumbling in the theme park fandom is that they're looking for... Disney's trying to figure out a way. They fucked themselves with Galaxy's Edge because Galaxy's Edge canonically takes place between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
And they're like, how do we get Baby Yoda into this?
Into this world, right.
So and it would not be hard to, you know, what they call reskin it. Oh. You know, just change it. But the two things that are hard, actually, no, the one really hard thing is the Rise of Resistance ride.
Okay.
That is the greatest, most advanced theme park ride ever created. And mm-hmm. it's so about... that time period mm-hmm. and Kylo Ren. I don't know. It would take a lot to reskin it.
You think they'd have to incorporate Baby Yoda in some way, though, into the park? Because he could just be around.
He's probably still around.
He doesn't have to be part of the ride.
Well, there's this mandate with stores that everything has to be canon. Like, you
he
know,
could be like Figment, except he's in Galaxy's Edge. Which, again, I wanted to call a different name.
But if...
Not Lightsaber landing. I wanted to call it Galaxy Quest.
Yeah. But in Galaxy Quest, it takes place at this certain... Like, where... Grogu is not... We don't know what Grogu is or isn't during the sequel trilogy.
Right, right, right.
And even if he's alive, the producers of...
I just had a way to bring him in. It is horrible.
What?
Kylo just keeps having visions of Grogu because he killed him. He's so cute.
They just put a little grave somewhere. Yeah. Coming new to Galaxy's Edge.
Confirmed. Grogu's Kylo grave. Killed Grogu and has never gotten over it.
I know. Yeah, so changing that ride would be hard.
The and Millennium then the ride Falcon ends ride... with Mando coming back for revenge and like shooting Kylo in the yeah. head.
Sure.
Just shooting him right in the head.
Sure. Just change the ending. Mm-hmm. The Millennium Falcon ride you could easily reskin to be in the time period of when Mandalorian is.
Mm-hmm.
Just that one ride, really, you can't.
Mm.
So
what's the word on the street that they're going to do?
There's also talk of just like doing little events like weekends where like for this one weekend event.
Grogu weekend.
We're changing the time period that this park is in.
Okay.
Oh,
so the rumor is they're going to reskin the park.
Basically.
Okay.
But honestly, outside of the two major rides, It's Star Wars. I mean, it doesn't have, there's really not that much of a difference.
I don't know that outside of like this very dedicated internet fandom that your average Disney park visitor knows the time period it's supposed to be in. I think they just go there and they see Star Wars. It's Star Wars Land.
First, well,
I don't even think most people know what the thing is called.
Yeah, well, you certainly don't.
I mean, listen.
But the thing is, Galaxy's is actually pretty small. Mm-hmm. And all day long, Kylo Ren and Stormtroopers walk around.
Right.
And that directly relates into the rides.
So Darth Vader never shows up?
No, because he's...
Oh, see, I see that. It's very limited. That it's supposed to be immersive. It's supposed to be an immersive park experience. And like everything that you do is supposed to be in world. Right. Yeah. I get that. But I don't know that that's really going to last a long time. And obviously, it's already showing cracks.
I guessed this like a year ago. I said first of all, it's in between two movies, which like why that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because they made it in between two movies. I knew at some point they would reskin it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I thought they would reskin it to the original trilogy, mm-hmm. but now they really want to have like a baby Yoda meet and greet thing.
Yeah.
Sure. But right now sure they're not doing that mm-hmm. because
I take
Henry to
that in a second. Oh, no meet and greet.
Yeah, there were no characters right now.
Which you'd think would be characters. But, I mean, how are you going to infect them?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
They just have to like walk through a Lysol bath before they put the costumes away.
If they did it, they would do it like the way they have Baby Groot, which is you've got a cast member playing
holding it or
Sky,
like or it's on top of a table and
and they don't let you touch it.
Yeah.
And you've got Star-Lord there like in as a character in costume.
Okay. You'd have like, Mando, right? Yeah.
Or
Amy Sedaris. Or Amy Sedaris. Real Amy Sedaris is there.
Because could you, what child's not going to just try to hug Baby Yoda?
Of course, yeah.
I'm going to try to hug Baby Yoda.
You're going to run away with Baby Yoda.
Yeah. So, So it's funny, outside of Galaxy's Edge, where they don't give a shit about continuity, like in the, everywhere else in Disney, there's Baby Yoda shit.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
The park I still call MGM, they have the Star Tours ride, don't they? Still?
Yes, they still have Star Tours.
So,
and Star Tours is weird because it's like, it's all these different rides.
Mm.
So it could be different time periods, even within the same.
Yeah.
Like you could like, it's got three different thirds and it's like, wait, the first third of this, we were in this period. And,
yeah. And now we're.
Yeah. But they don't give a fuck.
Someplace else completely. And like Ray's here all of a sudden. Like what's happening?
Yeah, it's weird.
It's my first day as a pilot, you know, he does it.
Yeah.
He really takes us home. Sometimes we're just like on Mustafar.
Yeah, I know. So I don't know. They'll figure it out.
Star Tours. Yeah. I don't know how long the premise of Galaxy's Edge is going to last. I guess we'll find out, but I mean, they're already running into problems. Why can't they just do a Baby Yoda meet and greet in like Tomorrowland or someplace?
I guess you could.
Or in Disney Hollywood Studios. Like I just said, it can be outside Star Tours. They have the Darth Vader shows.
Right, right. Not anymore.
Oh.
But no, you're right. I guess they feel like we spent all the money on this fucking Star Wars land.
Mm.
We wanted to reflect. The only real hard part would be changing Rise of Resistance.
Mm.
How do you take?
I don't think they will.
The functions of all that, right?
If it's just a Baby Yoda meet and greet that they want, they'll figure out a way to do it. It's not hard. You can stick them anywhere. Parents will take their kids to see Baby Yoda if it's under a bridge. Like they don't care.
Under a bridge, like,
it'll be fine. Oh, just get me the picture with my kid.
He's fallen so far.
I spent so much money.
Yeah.
Just to make this stupid kid happy.
This stupid fucking kid. Yeah.
So, you know how stupid kids are? You can take them to Disney World. Disney World. I haven't taken my kids to Disney World, but I am sure this will happen because the last time I was in Disney World, we were already married and, we were not considering children yet, but you would turn a corner and you would see one child having the most magical experience of their life.
Yeah.
And then the next instant see a kid losing their fucking mind melting down because also it's a big day for a kid, especially a small child. It's like it's exhausting for an adult.
Well, do you know? I'm sorry, go on.
Oh no, it's exhausting. It's often hot. It's a lot of stimuli at the same time. It's a very overwhelming experience. But my original point is, you know how fucking stupid kids are. Yeah. You can take them to Disney World, which is like every magical thing in the world, and they will lose their mind because you didn't get them a balloon.
Yeah.
That's how stupid kids are.
Kids are stupid. And selfish, clearly. God. Have you ever heard of the phenomenon of children who come back with a stutter?
No.
That's a real thing that happens. Look it up.
Really?
It's basically like...
Look it up. I definitely need to make it up.
I didn't just... come up with that. It's like PTSD, but like happy PTSD.
Wow.
It's just their little brains can't take it and they'll have a stutter for a little bit.
My mother keeps coming up in this episode. My mother claims that the only tantrum I ever had was Disney World related.
What?
I went, had a great time. Apparently had never tantrum in my life. Huh. I don't believe this at all. Having children now, I'm like, there's no way. But I appreciate it. And she said, the only meltdown I ever had was on the plane on the way back. I got on the plane, no problem.
Uh-huh.
We came home. When everyone was disembarking, I lost my mind. I refused to leave the plane. Uh-huh. I was screaming, threw myself on the floor, crying. I didn't want to leave because I guess I thought it was a ride or like it was still part of it. You're and right. Then like the second we got off, it wasn't, we were not going to be in Disney World anymore, even though we were
post-Disney depression is like real. It's a real thing.
I guess I just didn't want to be in Newark.
So does.
But yeah, I mean, it's a thing. It changes you. It changes a person. It
certainly does. I threw a tantrum. The first time I went, I threw a tantrum because we couldn't go on the Haunted Mansion. And I didn't.
And you were 23.
And I, this was, no, but it probably, this is probably one of the reasons why I'm so obsessed with it now. Because I couldn't go on it, goddammit. Children's.
And you know what the sad thing is? I don't remember much from that first trip at all. I remember I met Snow White. And that's really the only detail of that trip I remember.
Don't bring your kids to Disney until they have memories.
I agree. I completely agree.
When I see someone bring a one-year-old, I'm like, you're wasting money.
I have a friend who took her one-year-old, and I was like, why would you do that?
Yeah, you're just giving yourself something to carry.
Right, because you didn't bring a babysitter with you, so you can't go on roller coasters, or you have to go on roller coasters like one at a time while the other one takes care of the baby. I'm like, why would you do such a thing?
Yeah, no. That baby doesn't even have a brain yet.
Yeah, no.
Wait for your baby to grow a brain.
Wait for your baby to grow a brain for once.
So those are all the new projects. Those are all the new things in Star Wars.
Did you talk about the publishing, the High Republic stuff?
No.
Oh, you're going into it now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Star Wars publishing. Well, for the last couple of years, Star Wars publishing has basically been doing spinoffs of the sequel trilogy or whatever books, whatever movies coming out. Like around Solo, they did Solo stories. And basically, it's all like take a character from whatever the movie coming up is or the movie that just happened is and spin them off into a book. And some of them are good. Some of them aren't. But now that the Skywalker saga is over, they have started this new thing called the High Republic. In some ways, it is replacing the Old Republic,
Knights of the Old Republic. Right.
Although technically, some of that is still canon and not, and that's further back than High Republic. But in a certain sense, it's replacing it because it's another
Knights
time
of the
period.
Old Republic predates High Republic.
It would be if it's.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay,
if it's still canon, which it only some elements of it kind of are.
I thought they were very. I guess I thought High Republic came from Knights of the Old Republic because it's Knights. And I know in the promo stuff, it was it calls it Arthurian.
It's similar. It's a similar idea.
Okay.
It's like an earlier version of the Star Wars galaxy and what things are like there. And it's going to be multi-years. So far, two books have come out.
Mm-hmm.
A novel called Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule, which I've read. They keep saying you don't have to read in order, but you have to read that one first because it sets up the whole world.
Okay.
And then there's a YA book or like a, not YA, but like not for kids. I don't know. I guess it's in between. I'm not sure.
Like a middle
exactly.
grade book?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, but like older than YA or below YA?
A little bit below.
Oh, yeah. Usually that's like middle grade, I think. Your brother taught me that.
Middle grade. Yeah. Okay. Let me see. What is it called? Oh, it's called A Test of Courage, and this is by Justina Ireland.
Okay.
Who's black, and so people are unhappy about
her.
Oh,
wait. Is that the woman they kept showing multiple times during the High Republic promo reel? Where it was like, we brought in all these diverse authors, but they just kept showing the same woman over again.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So they
really paraded her around. I know.
But there's also... a Latinx writer, and there is some diversity in this group. And it's it is like a committee. I think it started off as like they had a, like a retreat, a writer's retreat.
Yeah, it looked like it.
We're going to create a whole new era. And
which was so cool because then it was like everyone's on the same page. Yeah. We're all coming up with this idea together. So now when we go off to do our own material, we all have the same idea that we developed as a team.
Yeah, I think it's so far it's working. I mean, I've only read the first book.
Mm-hmm.
So far there's two books, there is a comic, one comic series that just started, and there's a like a little kids book.
Oh, cute.
In the High Republic, and it comes with stickers.
Stop it. I have to go find this now.
Next month, another book's coming out. Another comic series. There's going to be two comic series. Okay. One is all about Yoda and his, like, he has a ship with, like, a group of cool guys. And it's just, like, going around fucking
shit. It's a hot tub party, Yoda. Yeah. Didn't you say this was the one where you want to just see him,
just like, swinging a dick? He's too, it's not that they're not giving me what I want because he's younger, but he's still on the Jedi Council and he's still a master.
Have you seen young Yoda, like that concept art with his like long Padawan braid?
Yes, I have seen
it. It looks so cool.
Yeah.
But that's not anything from this. That's just like some cool
guy. No, he's still pretty old. Yeah. He's still pretty old.
He's not like.
They talk about him the same way as like.
He's like, he just joined AARP.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, this one.
Yes, that one. Okay. Yeah. No,
but
I wish
not
that was
this one. No. How old would you say he is in this picture?
That one, he's got dreadlocks, which is what's cool.
I mean, I don't know.
I'd say he's 70, 80.
70?
Oh, no. Baby Yoda's 50.
Baby Yoda's 50.
Oh, God, I don't know.
They really wrote themselves into a corner. I could see this being the hair he had.
Oh, my God, that is so upsetting.
It really is, but.
That's really upsetting.
Joe Latrulio, ladies and gentlemen.
Janine just showed me a picture of a young Yoda with like brown hair, and it's just so upsetting. It's so upsetting.
It looks so buggy. It looks like a man is in makeup and not a drawing, but I think it is a drawing. It's just so strange. It's all too right. Detailed.
Well, Janine's looking at weird pictures. I'll tell you a little bit about the High Republic era. So it's an era of peace.
I'm sorry. Now I'm just finding weird things.
Okay, that's a picture of The Rock holding Grogu against his chest. I think they're
doing skin to skin. It's very important for development.
That was actually a picture of his child.
I'm pretty sure they just drew over his own baby.
Yeah, put Grogu.
oh no.
So yes, Arthurian. Yeah, I get the Arthurian thing in the way that the Jedi are. Mm-hmm. It's the Jedi that you always wanted. Like when Obi-Wan said they were knights that like protect, like these are these people. Like they're not morons like they were in the prequels, like idiots in robes. Like they're actually all kind of awesome and they're all different. Like it seems like in this era, Jedis are encouraged to be different and act differently. Mm-hmm. And they even go into like how they see the Force differently. Like one person sees the Force as a song and she's like, I hear the song of the Force. And and then another person, he sees it as a sea and an ocean. And it's so there are all these different Jedis. And
are they always supposed to be like aromantic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still something.
Yeah, but two of the main characters clearly are in love with each other. And so we'll see in the other books how that comes out. It's a time of peace, but it's also like a time of expansion. There's Coruscant, but then like everything on the Outer Rims are really, there's nothing there or very little going on there.
Okay.
Kind of as a cool thing, they have this thing called the Chancellor is Chancellor Lena So, who she's a good guy so far, and she's like all into these like what she calls great works. She creates this thing called
She could be like Caesar Augustus, where it's like under him the Pax Romana happened, which is like the best high point of the Roman Empire.
Yeah, like
you know, she just is overseeing this time. But like he had his own stuff going on. Like he wasn't a blameless character at all in history. But it's just most of his leadership was very good. Whether or not he was like a morally righteous person is another story.
Right. I can't remember the name of this thing. Basically, the Republic creates like a good Death Star.
She
creates this. She to try to unify the galaxy. She creates this space station that has a Jedi temple in it, but then it also like is Epcot, and it has like all these different like.
So it's like a UN Death Star.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. But it's not a Death Star.
No, and but
it's
like
just the, a space station,
right? But it's called like the Bright Star or something, and it's meant to like inspire people and let the people outside of the big cities like know like the Republic.
Representatives like on this place. Right. Okay.
Like what her saying is, we are all the Republic. Mm. And like every
Why
character
does it always have to be a Death Star? I
know. Every character says that at some point, we are all the Republic.
Okay.
Like I'm it's an interesting woman. Idea. It's an interesting inversion of that idea.
It's Whitney Houston.
Sorry. I didn't mean to step on you, Whitney Houston. So that's an interesting idea. There are some other cool things in it so far. Oh! In some ways, it's like Star Trek.
Okay, yeah.
Because it's a much more peaceful time, and a lot of it is based on like Star Trek is the idea of like they just came up with hyperspace and how that changes things.
Right.
That's what's happening here. It's the beginning of hyperspace.
Oh, okay.
This book and the whole High Republic era begins with something called the Great Disaster.
Huh.
Which I guess if you're gonna read it, I'll say spoiler alert. For High Republic, but it's basically a huge ship that's going to like it's very Ellis Island. It's like taking all these people from an outer world and bringing them into the inner world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a big, huge yacht in hyperspace. It crashes and explodes, and then the little pieces of it are falling through hyperspace and coming out in places that they don't know, and creating like 9/11s everywhere. And, like, that's the first third of the book.
Okay.
And so it's this bad thing that comes from this new, like, this new technology.
Right.
And then, like, that's, like, the first big event. One thing that's very cool, and this is just a cool detail, the Jedi are very closely related to the Republic, and the Jedi fly on these ships called Vectors.
Hmm.
And they're tiny little ships that barely have any shields, because the idea is the Jedi's using the Force to shield it and also like
fly it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to make the weapons work and to make it shoot, they have what they call like a lightsaber key, and you have to take out your lightsaber and put it into the ship and then light your lightsaber up, and that makes it go. That's pretty fucking awesome. I was just like, that's cool.
That is a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The bad guys are called the Nile, and they're like, they begin as kind of like pirates, but by the end of the first book, they are more, they want more power. It's a, they're like really
That's
like gross.
Cool. That's cool because we
it's
go
not
from.
Sith. That's why
well,
I think
no,
it's cool.
But also just like if you're looking at it through a mirror of like actual history, right? We go from the Middle Ages to the Dark Ages and then the Renaissance, right?
Yeah.
But the Renaissance is also the age of discovery, the age of exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're introducing hyperspace as a new technology that like allows us to link to these outer worlds that we've never been to before, this is very much the age of discovery and exploration for the Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And so of course there's pirates.
Yeah.
Because that's when they start coming out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
So far it's good. Some standout characters. Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, whenever something happens, right, there's something new, some new technology, there's always going to be...
Right, and that's sort of what this is.
Someone who is like, how can I make money off of this?
Right.
How can I gain from this?
Basically, how they go
How can I corrupt this to make money?
Right.
Yeah.
How these people go from being just normal pirates to, like, a much more...
Or not money, but just, like, how can I get some kind of gain from this system? Yeah.
You see that because they go from being just like typical pirates to like having much more, being much more of a threat to the Republic because they are learning how to use hyperspace. Like there's a battle at the end where like they are using, they're just jumping around. It looks like they keep appearing and disappearing in the battlefield because they're just taking these little jumps in hyperspace back and forth.
It kind of reminds me of like Doctor Who where they do like the quick and dirty time travel.
Yeah, it's what it is. They go, exactly. That's what it is. And there's very little connection to everything else. You've got Yoda there, but Yoda's referred to. He's not in this first book. He's got his own comic.
Huh, okay.
And there's a company that's run by two men. There's so much more queer representation in the Star Wars books than in the movies.
Mm.
These two men, and they're the Santikas, which means they would be descendants of Max von Sydow's character in The Force Awakens. But that's a small little connection.
Wait. They're descendants of or their ancestors?
Ascendants of.
Oh,
sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Max von Sydow's character is a descendant of them. Yeah, other than that, it's good. So since we're in High Republic, that leads us into the last thing I want to talk about, which is the toxicity of the Star Wars fandom.
Do we have time?
We've talked about it before. The problem is not there's not just toxicity. There's a lot of Star Wars fake news now.
That's so wild to me. I had no idea.
Right. The amount of times Kathleen Kennedy has been supposedly fired.
Right.
Pedro Pascal fired. Fired. Which never happened.
Yeah, no.
I tried to Google a review of High Republic, the first book, and I found four videos were just angry screeds against it.
No, had they read it?
Oh, no. You don't need to read it to have an opinion on it.
All right.
Well, here's why. Let me show you the picture that Lucasfilm released mm-hmm. of the collection of authors for this new publishing thing.
Mm-hmm.
This alone made people angry. Those are the writers. Was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Seven. No, they're not all white men.
I mean, a lot of them are white men.
Right, but not all. And they must all be. So, like, you'll see, like, a video.
Okay, of this picture, there are seven people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make assumptions about their gender, but I'm going to. It appears to be three white men. Two white women. So that's five already. Mm-hmm. And then one Latinx man?
Yeah.
And then it looks like one black woman.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So.
What? I mean, I would say let's get some more representation in there.
Me too.
But we're just liberal cucks.
We're just, and it's all about owning us, owning the libs.
So I wish I was owned so often. My goodness.
I know. So there's sometimes fake news, which is just like bullshit. What's
the rationale? Like, what is the argument? What?
For this picture?
Yeah. Why are people annoyed at this?
Because are they
just coming right out and saying not enough white people? Or like, what's no, the no, argument?
No. It's much more dog whistly than that.
Yeah.
That is the argument, but it's much more dog whistly.
Okay. That's what I want to know. Like, what are they actually saying?
The narrative is that Disney and Lucasfilm are pushing an SJW agenda.
Okay. Because once there was a Latino man?
Yes. Exactly.
Okay.
Like, let me give you an instance of fake news. So the one...
This is a special comic issue where Yoda goes to the bodega.
Right.
And that's all it's about. So they couldn't possibly write a Star Wars story.
Right. So this African-American writer here, the one African-American woman of the group,
yes.
Justina Ireland.
Okay.
She tweeted... Someone tweeted something nasty at her. And then she
about what? Like, I mean,
because she's existing.
No, I know people will just get on you for absolutely anything. If you're a woman, if you're a POC, and right. you are involved in any of their fandoms, because they're gross right. and disgusting little shits who live in right. their like little weird exactly. caves at night. I don't know what they do.
Right. So she responded something like, "I'm sorry, I'm a black woman who's writing sorry, Star Wars. So I guess don't read my book."
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what she tweeted, right? Mm-hmm. I guess don't read my book. How do we fake and newsify that? The headline becomes Star Wars officially says we don't want white viewers. Disney has come out against white viewers and said we don't want white viewers.
Right.
That's her tweet becomes that fake news.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, why would a massive corporation not want an audience? This is the thing that drives me crazy about this.
There's no logic.
They care more about they don't care more about diversity than making money.
Yeah, no. They're in the money making business,
right.
babe.
Right.
None of it makes any logical sense.
It's so stupid.
At all. Just like, oh God, I can't do it without making comparisons to our current political climate. But like, it's just like Antifa led the riots into the Capitol in order to prevent an election from being certified.
Right.
Even though they won the election, they didn't want it certified. Yeah. That's why they caused the riot at the Capitol. I mean, that's the logic, right?
Right.
And no, why? Oh, to make Trump supporters look bad. I'm like, babe, they make themselves look bad. No,
I don't think you're wrong, because other people have made the comparison that it's a radicalism and almost like Trumpism that somehow invaded this fandom. I'm not saying that all these people are politically conservative, but there seems to be a dividing line between you hate Rian Johnson, you hate Kathleen Kennedy, and you hate diversity, and therefore Star Wars is against you, or the other line is like, you know, you're a real fan and They're pushing it down your throat.
Always had diversity in the Star Wars films. Billy D. Williams' cast. I believe there were some Asian fighter pilots in the in the Rebel Alliance. There have always been, you know, strong female
and
characters.
And it's always been anti-fascist. Like, of course, Star Wars is anti-fascist. What the fuck is wrong with that?
Really super important. And this is something I appreciate that they're hiring actors, you know, give people work for sure. But it's always something I actually kind of don't like in, like, the prequel series or things that are prior to the, like, original trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that they're not all white.
Right.
Like, British people. Because I'm like, the Empire is supposed to be, like, racist, essentially.
Right.
And, like, whenever you see, like, an alien, right? Or, you know, something that isn't a humanoid as an Imperial officer, I'm like, this would never happen. They don't want that. Yeah. And so, as much as I like that they're giving work to, like, POC actors and stuff, I'm like, no, you don't belong there.
You see a little bit of that in, like, the Thrawn book. Mm-hmm. Like, he ascends the ranks, even though people are like, who's this fucking blue guy?
Yeah.
But right, no, you're absolutely right.
They're modeled on the Nazis in the first few movies.
Right, you'll see like a gay couple. Like, there's books where you see like gay Imperials, and it's like they're fascists that literally enslave people, but they're cool with you being gay. Like, I don't know. It's weird. But anyway, this is the last thing I want to do, and we'll end this puppy until next year when we do another State of Star Wars. They've been releasing all of these images and concept art of characters from the High Republic.
Yeah. I have a problem with this character too, but it's because I think their name is ridiculous.
Right. So they put out two characters, and these characters have incited a lot of ire and a lot of just mockery, making fun of it and calling it stupid, which is just a dog whistle because everything in Star Wars is fucking stupid.
Oh, I'm sorry. Max Rebo is super cool.
Yeah. So the first is this character who is
Ram Jammeram. I don't.
It just makes you think of Black Betty. Betty.
Ram Jammeram.
So Ram Jammeram. Now, we did this as a test. I told you to not Google these images, but to just look at them as a rational person.
I haven't done any. Okay. All right,
thank you. So looking at Ram Jammeram.
Okay.
Tell me why this is upsetting people.
I don't clearly know this character's gender.
That's one.
Okay.
That's one.
I need to know.
It's a male character.
How do you pee?
Exactly.
How do I know? So I know how to treat you.
It's a male character.
So I know what to pay you.
Oh my God! Yes.
Okay. So I would say.
So you're right about that. People are misgendering this character.
I don't know what gender this person is immediately. Right? I don't know.
Right.
Because they have, it looks like a ponytail, but also like shaved sides of the head.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's a male character.
Okay.
But most people were misgendering it as a female character.
Oh, right. You know, with Star Wars names, who knows?
Right.
You know, there's not necessarily a feminine name. Okay. I would say this person is not, I'll say this person's overweight.
Right. I recently read the book, What We Don't Talk About When We Talk About Fat. So I'm reclaiming that word as a fat person. This person's fat.
I don't know. No. I like husky.
Okay. Well, people don't like that.
Okay.
People are very upset about that.
Okay. Let's see. I mean, this is a person of color.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is all bad things.
Right. Yeah, sure.
You hit it.
I think that, is that it?
Yeah. In the Terminator.
Is this a Jedi?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no, it is a Jedi.
Is that a lightsaber?
It is a Jedi, yeah.
Okay, okay. Oh, yeah. Then that's doubly bad. Now we've sullied the Jedis.
Yeah.
The Jedi?
Yeah.
The Jedi. I am a Star Wars fan. I know I know what these things are.
So if you want to play along at home, Google Ram Jammeram, and you hit it all. You hit it on the nose.
And then after you listen to Black Betty like 17 times, you'll probably get to what this character is.
And yes, people were making fun of the name, which I'm fine with.
I think it's a ridiculous name.
But it's not more stupid than calling the greedy character Greedo.
No, it's not, because there's a ton of stupid names.
It's all stupid make-believe goobity-gobbity.
Yeah, space stories that make no sense. There's a fucking, like we talked about last episode, there's a devil and a werewolf in the first movie. Like, what are we talking? Why is this so precious to us? It's ridiculous nonsense.
So this is the second.
Okay, now this one is, Leox Gyasi. They're really, you know, I thought they had just like a whiteboard full of names, Star Wars names, and they're losing their grip. They're losing their grip a little bit. Leox Gyasi. Okay. This looks like a modified Han Solo.
People are making fun of this character, but also, and you're never going to get this because you're not insane. There's also another thing about this character that's upsetting people.
Okay. I'm going to say this character reminds me a lot of the character from She-Ra. Seahawk?
Oh, Seahawk, yes.
This reminds me of Seahawk. Oh, yeah. Like definite a fancy Seahawk pirate vibes. Man.
This character is created by Claudia Gray, and she has said openly he's based on a 90s Matthew McConaughey.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah.
I can see it. That's funny. He's got like, it looks like a half gun holster, half vest type thing.
He's showing a lot, deep V.
A real, very deep V. Real deep V. Showing open, a lot of fancy chest. Shirt, a lot of chains, a lot of jewels. But jewelry.
Yeah. So look at the last name again. What's the last name?
Gyasi.
And that's spelled how?
Gyasi. Okay.
That's so an anagram for is gay.
Oh my God. Leox is gay.
And
okay,
the insane
is gay
faction of Star Wars fans are like, do you now? Maybe it is. Maybe Claudia Gray did actually do that, or maybe she didn't. And these people are fucking insane.
Claudia Gray's last name is Claudia R. Gay.
Yeah,
moron.
It goes up to the top.
Oh my God.
So this is the level of, like, this is getting into QAnon stuff, because not only are they pushing diversity, they're like, don't you see it's is gay? Like, you when you're getting into like made up Da Vinci Code shit, you're sliding down the QAnon.
But now what would, so okay, let's buy
is gay.
Let's buy into this. Let's buy into it. Yeah, let's buy into it. Now what would be the purpose of them?
Because they're shoving, they're going to
saying it subliminally, that this character is gay. Now what if the character is gay?
Right, might be.
Right?
It's possible.
And their last name is just is gay because she has no imagination.
Don't you understand? You don't understand.
Because then it's what? It's subliminal.
Claudia Gray is actually the best Star Wars writer.
And superliminal?
Yeah.
It's so they're just telling you, but they're also subliminally telling you.
Right.
Why bother? Yeah. But also, if the character is not gay, but the last name is telling you it's gay, he is gay. Then what is the purpose of that exactly?
I'll tell you the purpose.
Okay. Is because it to make me gay? Because guess what?
No.
I just looked at that picture.
It's because they
hate I'm gay
you.
Now.
Star Wars hates white men. I know you're not a white man, but Star Wars hates white men. And they won't be happy until every Jedi is a fat, gay, black person. They won't be happy. They won't be happy.
Okay. And then
there's also another fake news thing that's based on nothing that says that the authors of the High Republic are mad at the Mandalorian for bringing Luke into it because, again, Luke's a white man and they're anti that. This is like somebody made it up maybe as a joke and then someone reports it and that it's like QAnon. Like it just this is a thing now that we're talking about, but it's based on
absolutely nothing. Right. It's like an idea someone had.
Right.
Right.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. This is just... he just resists Bill at all costs. Oh. He's like, you're not the food. Where's the food?
The food lady.
Where's the food lady?
So, is gay. Well, let's wrap it up. So...
right quick. This kid acts like he hasn't eaten. He goes all night without waking up. It's just because his nasty old giant tooth is coming out.
By the way, if you hear a baby crying in the background, know that there is a parent with that child.
No,
off.
No. He's outside right now. It's January.
A little cold chill will calm you down, kid.
That's it.
Let me... I hear shaking him.
Oh, my God. You know why you can't shake a baby? Because they love it.
Anyway, so this has been State of Star Wars. Is the State of Star Wars strong? Janice...
I would say it is. I would say I talked to you about this a little bit. Like, disinformation is an infection. It's a brain infection and it infects your mind.
Yes, it does.
It really does. And you become.
And it radicalizes you.
I think it becomes an addiction just like anything else. Yes, I think it you does. Become addicted to the idea that you know more than anyone. Even though it's on this stupid internet where anybody can go.
Right.
I think people are convinced they're like on the dark web, even though they're just on a chat room, like that they know more than the FBI and the CIA somehow. So I think it's an addiction. Like, nobody knows real reality other than you, and you can decode all right. of the subliminal yes, stuff exactly. movies are trying to tell you, when really they're just trying to sell stuff to you. I mean,
right.
You know,
exactly. Like,
drink a Coke.
The idea
that, and I do.
The idea that Disney would put their I wish they would put their social, what they think is socially right, in front of profit.
No. Never. They're a corporation. Insane. And I don't fault them for it necessarily, until it comes to like abusing their employees. I don't want them to do that. Like, pay them a living wage, please. But I'm fine with that. It's totally fine. But I disagree. I don't think it's anything. I mean, they had, like, in the background of the background, two characters kissing. Two women kissing in the most recent Star Wars movie. And it's like, oh, wow. We paid some lip service to our LGBTQ fans, and we couldn't even show it in China. So, like,
I know, right, exactly.
Amazing. And that's because we don't want to lose out on Chinese dollars.
Exactly.
I don't know if they have dollars. Yen. But anyway, money. And that's the bottom line. Right. It's not about, you know, servicing the SJW fan base. I don't know.
I will say, and I'm not giving any credence to these insane people, but I will say there is greater diversity in the publishing world. But there's also greater
diversity.
Well, yeah, there's also greater diversity.
Because there's not as much money in publishing at all.
Exactly. That's why I like the books, because the books do so much more even books with major characters do so much more crazy shit than you see in the TV shows and the movies, because there's less people that are reading them. So, you know, like in they did a Han Solo book that tied into the Solo movie, and the bad guys were like zombie, cyborg, like the weirdest bad guys in any Star Wars, where if they put it in a movie, people would shit themselves, because one, it's different, and two, they didn't see it before.
Right.
So I'm going to say also the state of Star Wars is strong. Mandalorian is good. I think it will continue to be good. Mm-hmm. I think the High Republic is starting off well. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be, I like what they're, I'm like that they're putting effort into the publishing arm of it and doing something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Live long and prosper.
That's Star Wars. That's what we always say.
That's what we say. Janine Gagliardi, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I hope to join you again next year and not see you until then.
Fair enough. This is PCMC. We're available anywhere podcasts are found. And we end the episode by saying what?
Go bye-bye.